to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, thank you very much for the experience. The questions you asked really helped guide me, you know, following a certain path to understand deeper about what I do and then even kind of understand some of the things I even never thought of before, the question you asked. So that was such a good experience.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy, and today's sponsor owns Ideal Property Investments. Kelly Johansson could be your property investment guru. She can work with you to locate, secure, and cash flow your very own rental property. Whether this is your first property or you are a seasoned investor, connect with Kelly to be your property investment guru at idealpropertiesmnforminnesota.com, or you can reach her at 1-612-290-6107. All right. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate your support and sponsorship. If you would like to sponsor this program, give me a call. 1-612-804-8920. All right, on with today's guest. Mike Cabea is back. He's in the studio. He founded Cabea Media in 2013 to share more broadly his technical skills and talents across multimedia platforms. Mike is a journalist by trade, photographer, audiographer, media designer, and videographer, originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo. He's worked on hundreds of broad-range projects, including videos for companies, multimedia videos for authors, and other work events. He's a photographer for family events as well, like weddings, family photos, and anniversaries. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Nancy.
The reason that you're back in the studio, I mean, you're here in the studio with every episode, but
yes.
Because you're the videographer, photographer, mon frère, with We Mentor Mondays with Nancy.
And your brother from your other mother, my other mother.
Yeah, and you're in the studio because we're talking about behind the scenes, and we're also talking, which we'll do a little bit more in our next episode, our next conversation.
Yes.
But in this conversation, we really wanted to pick up from where we left off last time, mm-hmm. because you have worked for 2 years in getting your spiritual director designation.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Oh, thank you.
It's taken a huge commitment on your part.
Absolutely.
And we were realizing in our conversation that you would like to expand a little bit more on what Kundalini is, because in our first conversation, we kind of touched on it. But today, let's dive in.
Okay.
Why don't you start with how you're feeling?
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me here and for the opportunity to kind of talk about myself. It doesn't happen every time. I mean, every day.
Yeah.
So today, I believe I feel receptive.
Nice.
Kind of feel like my mind is open and I'm ready to take whatever the universe wants to throw at me. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel good.
Oh, great.
Overall. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling very grounded, and we had a chance to talk ahead of time, so that's always wonderful to catch up on what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. It's a kind of a process of centering, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, relaxing before we start talking, like in a focused way on the mic.
Absolutely. Kind mm-hmm. of forget about what went on throughout the day and just be here in the moment.
Yeah, in the moment. Love it. So let's dive in. because with Kundalini, it's kind of a bigger concept.
Yes.
You were describing a spiritual awakening that you had at age 19, which the training helped validate.
Yes.
What you went through in your own spiritual awakening.
Yes.
You said it had to do with the Kundalini energies.
Last time, I think that came as a result of a big question that you asked me. You brought it up, and then we went on talking about this on and on. And so usually it's represented as a dormant serpent, you know, at the bottom of your spine. So mm-hmm. a serpent that's there, but it represents energy, mm-hmm. you know, and that the awakening of the Kundalini energy is the rise of that serpent or that energy through your spine, you know, going throughout all the seven chakras or so until it hits the summit of your head or your crown, which is referred to as the Sahasrara chakra in Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that energy, you know, the rising of it, among other things, will help kind of clear out or open up your chakras if they were clogged.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings about a lot of, you know, change, a shift in your nervous system. In your perception of the reality, you experience that deep spiritual freedom, if you will, or liberation,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because, you know, especially when it reaches the summit of your head, the crown chakra, then it just gives way to the advent of lots of intuition, you know,
yeah.
and perceptions like this. Some of the people can become pretty good at, you know, what they see in their dreams, you know. You can develop premonition and stuff like that
sure.
when your crown is open up. And just overall, the spiritual truths in the universe are quote-unquote revealed to you.
Yeah.
You have a much better understanding of spiritual concepts, a much better understanding of the oneness that exists between everything, you know, humans and animals and the earth and the universe in
yeah.
general.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's not, I mean, it's scary, I think, when you first experience it.
Oh, my God, it is scary.
Yeah.
And that's why most people refer to it as a very dangerous thing when it happens to you. And it can be indeed, especially if that's forced out, because, you know, there are methods to awaken the Kundalini. And it's always highly advised that you, if you're going to go down that road, that if you want to, you know, awaken it, that you be under the supervision of a guru of some sort or someone who has experienced it and who knows actually how to direct people about living with the Kundalini. It takes a lot of time, and it needs to follow a certain, you know, pace. You can't brutalize it, or there can be some consequences. I've heard of things like that.
Oh.
Yes.
And so, because it's not about forcing something forward.
No, actually, you don't force it. And the medicine for Kundalini is the letting go and accepting being under the power of the universe that's actually sending you that energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take control of it, then you can experience pain. You know, people have reported that some of them had
right.
trouble and had, they just experienced kind of a, you know, a breakdown.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And they didn't see it as a breakthrough.
And they didn't see it as a breakthrough, yes.
Okay, because if you see, like if you know you're having a breakdown and you're realizing, okay, this is a breakthrough.
Yes.
But I do feel like I'm totally falling apart.
Yeah.
Because I'm letting go of
yes.
Who I thought I used to be.
Yes, absolutely. The truth of the matter is that, especially in the case when it naturally happens, although you experience that breakdown, you still have, like in the background, something telling you this is correct. Just hang on, you know, hang
yeah.
on to it. Just hold on, be patient, and you will be okay.
Your guides, your spiritual
yes.
guides,
yes.
your invisible
the
spiritual
inner
guides.
Master.
Yes.
I love that you just brought up that concept. The inner master, as they say, you are guided from inside, you know,
mm-hmm.
totally without the mistake. You are guided from inside. When you let go, when it happens like that naturally, Now, like I said earlier, there are methods to make it rise. And that's why you have stuff like Kundalini yoga. This would be a set of exercises, you know, based on breathing, for example, and meditation and the recitation of certain mantras and sutras and stuff like that. Some gurus have even said that it could actually provoke the rise of the Kundalini through a touch. No, I can't speak much to that. I don't know. It's possible, yes. But I know for
I've
sure.
I've heard people having that experience with Reiki massage.
Yes,
where it's, you know, hands are not on the body, but they're close to it. They're working with the energy.
Yes, yes. It is possible. Because this is energy. It's something you feel. You totally feel it, like physically.
Yeah, right.
You know, especially in the early stages of its awakening, you physically feel the rise of energy, which can translate in the development of heat in the body along the
which
spine.
Is what you described happened to you when you were 19.
Yes, totally. You feel it. It's not something that you imagine. You feel it totally.
Yeah.
And the body can get so hot and you sweat like when there is no reason to sweat.
Right.
Yes. You sweat, seriously.
Yeah.
Because the body gets super hot like that.
I've never taken a Kundalini yoga.
Yes.
I think, but I did meet recently.
Yes.
And a Kundalini yoga teacher. And
oh, really?
I was thinking, wow, you know, and then you were mentioning it, and I'm like, okay, third time.
Yeah.
you know.
Watch out. Watch out, Messi.
I'm going to be taking the class.
Yeah, you don't know. Maybe it will surprise you on a road or something, and yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, but it's not like you're out of control. It's just you feel like... it's a collapse in your psyche of, like, I just don't understand exactly what's happening to me.
Yes. And you're not completely, again, this is worth to be mentioned a couple of times, you're not completely left alone, even though you experience those breakdowns. But from time to time, you feel the direction from your inner master, if you will.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can translate to those moments of bliss, like I described in our past show. Just a huge sense of joy that you can't account for.
Yeah.
It's there just to reassure you that you're on the right track. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Now, depending on, you know, people, it can take more or less time. It can take many years, you know, until it's completely settled or the body has responded to that. The way I would describe it is just like it's preparing your body to be receiving those high quantity of energy from the universe.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got
to
go.
That's a nice way to say it.
Yes. It's got to go slowly, slowly, and, you know, prepare your body to be able to accept those tons of energies that descending from me from above.
So before we pop a pill or stuff it with eating or, you know, exercise ourselves to death or, you know, engage in some addictive way that keeps us out of our body and mind and spirit, that we want to allow it to come forward.
Yes, yes. Hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, when you feel a call for it, yes, maybe that might be the time for it. In some people, like it was in my case, I never looked for it, never thought about it, but it just popped up.
Hmm.
Why did it? It's difficult to say, but I would be tempted to say that it was somehow linked to, you know, a series of meditation. Because, like I said, I meditated a lot.
Yeah.
For years, even before that happened, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, any occasion is good for the Kundalini to initiate the rise. And once it's started, it will go to the end. No matter what you want, believe it or not, no matter how long that takes.
Yeah.
It will go to the end.
Right. Yeah, because it's you're becoming something different.
The channel, you become different.
Yeah.
Your nervous system is touched. Your perception of the reality is shifted somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, so it's a form of integration.
Oh, absolutely.
And so people like to control or create chaos or rigidity, and so that helps to understanding the Kundalini energy helps to understand that that's what might be, well, that's what you might be searching more for, is to understand it more, which is what you did with your spiritual director.
Yeah, there was a lot of validation, if you will. There was a lot of validation. I was practically the first time that I met with people who thought like me, people who experienced some of the similar stuff I went through throughout my life. It was just an intense feeling of, you know, validation and just happiness to be, oh my God, I have a community. You know, there are the people. I was not crazy. I went through the right thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yes. So you have that feeling.
Okay.
You have that feeling.
Like you're home.
You, yes, totally.
With my homies.
My homies, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So an intense, validation, yes.
And the spiritual director, one of the tools that you mentioned to me that you'd like to talk about is the Enneagram.
Yes, yes. That was going to be part of the answer I should have provided to our first show. In fact, because you asked me, what did I study?
Yeah.
And I think I spent a lot of time talking about listening, which is and still remains
deep
the
listening.
Major, deep listening and empathetic listening is still the major part of the training as a spiritual director. But there are other stuff that accompany that listening aptitude. That's the understanding of the universe, like I said. One of the other things that you're alluding to and I had studied is Enneagram. And Enneagram, I think the word Enneagram comes from the Greek, and it means nine. And in fact, it refers to the nine types of personality. It's a typology tool, if you will.
So was this before the Myers-Briggs personality type with the like 16 different combinations?
Yes. Because Enneagram actually go all the way back to ancient Egypt.
Okay, yeah, and this is with, so an American psychologist, Carl Jung.
Yes.
He came up with the concept of, we have archetypes, different parts of our personality that speak to one another. Out of one of the many things that came out of his research and work was the personality types.
Yes. Enneagram is different, and I fell in love with that tool because it just resonates a lot with me. And to me, even it's highly deep, it can become very complicated at some point. But, you know, you can pretty
much... Like, what are a few of the nine types?
Oh, okay. Let's say the first type is called the reformer. That's number one.
Okay.
The reformer, you know. These are the kind of people who are very, you know, rational, idealistic type, if you will. They are principled, you know, purposeful, self-controlled, and perfectionist. You know, they want everything to be at the right place at the right time. And then number two is the helper. They are demonstrative of generosity, you know. They are very pleasing people. These are the kind of people who are always ready to say, can I help you? What can I do for you? They constantly want to help.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, type three is known as the achiever. Well, that's revealing. The word itself says it. These persons are successful, success-oriented, if you will. They are very pragmatic, you know, adaptive, excellent, driven, and they care about achieving whatever they have started.
Oh.
That means a lot to them, you know.
Yeah.
And if you hire a type three for your work, you're going to be sure that everything is going to be accomplished because they care about achieving whatever they have started.
Oh.
Yes. Now, top four is known as the individualist. Now, these are the kinds that are very sensitive, you know, but they are a little bit withdrawn, if you will, you know. They are withdrawn. And in that category, you find artists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are very creative.
Okay.
Very
creative.
And
they're on their own path.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying just here to give kind of big pictures, if you will, but you can go deep in the description of all these types.
Sure.
And they don't come alone. You have what they call in Enneagram wings. It's other tendency. Like you could be, say, a type two, a very helping person, but at the same time, you know, being an achiever, if you will.
Yeah.
So that might be part of one of the wings. So you can do a lot of combination of those. Now, to just continue talking about those types, there's a type number five, which is known as the investigator. Mm. These are the people who think a lot. Generally, you find researchers, scientists, professors in that category because they are very rational. They love to learn. They are learners by nature.
Mm.
But they can also be withdrawn, you know. They want to be alone. And that's why it can sometimes be a little bit difficult to live with a five, because they tend to isolate themselves and they can seem
they like to be alone with their thoughts.
To be alone with their thought. They really live from within, from inside.
Okay.
Super meditative people.
Mm.
But very smart. You know, a guy like Einstein is a five for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the benefit with Enneagram is that today you have even apps out there. Enneagram.
Oh, that
you can just go in and answer a number of questions that they provide and they can give you a type.
I see.
And then you can go ahead now and look the meanings and potentially what you can do even to improve yourself.
Yeah.
That's how that tool is so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, number six.
Sure.
Number six is known as the loyalist. Mm. Oh, you can tell from the word. You know, they are committed. They are security-oriented type. And they are engaging, responsible, but they can be also anxious and suspicious. These are the kind of people who, they always think about the future, what could go wrong, and how to be cautious about that, you know?
Oh, so on one hand, they're loyal, and then on the other hand.
Yes.
I see, they're suspicious.
Yeah, they are suspicious.
Mm.
They want to make sure that they, you know, double check things, because there's a little fear lying within them.
Mm.
They have a problem with fear, you know. And number seven is the enthusiast.
Oh.
Yeah, the enthusiast. The busy, fun-loving type, spontaneous, versatile, you know, destructible and a little bit scattered, you know. Enneagram comes
any,
with...
Any, what was the one, guarded?
Scattered.
Scattered. Yeah.
Scattered in the sense that sometimes they try to embrace lots of things at once.
Right.
You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to travel. They are travelers. Watch out, Nancy. We were just having a conversation prior to this show, and you mentioned your wanting to travel. Yeah, but not saying that you're seven now because you love to travel.
Well, I could be.
You never know. You never know. But basically, they are the people who tend to touch to lots of things, you know.
Sure.
They have an adventurous mind.
Yeah.
They like adventure.
Yeah.
These are the seventh.
Okay.
Now, number eight is the challenger.
Ooh.
Now, these are the bosses. So it's all about the power. It's a dominating type, if you will.
Being in charge. The status quo, probably, no?
Exactly. Taking care of the weak. And, you know, they show a lot of sense of leadership.
Okay.
They can also get angry pretty quickly. They will tell you the truth right here now, you know, face to face. Type 8 is like that.
Okay.
Now, you have number 9, the peacemaker.
Oh.
Yes. And that's the last one, a peacemaker. They are just very easygoing. They are kind of self-effacing. They don't like conflicts. They'd rather forget about themselves to please other people.
I see.
To make other people happy.
Yeah. So what are you?
Well, it's a good question. Before I answer that question, I have to say we all, to some degree, represent one or multiple of those types within us.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
From time to time, one can surface.
I see.
And can have a certain, you know, can appear to be strong at a specific time. And then another one will come up, depending on circumstances. But there's what they call it, the home, like what you tend to be most of time.
Mm.
Well, if you want me to tell you about me, I think I have
yes,
a good...
Yes, I do.
Like, you do? Tell me, try. Go ahead.
Oops,
guess.
I did it again. I'm putting you on the spot.
Guess. I want to see. Maybe you're right.
Well, I was thinking the peacemaker.
Really? Oh,
but
my God.
But you're also the thinker. You know, you're the investigator.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well, all of those are some of my big components, yes.
Both of them?
Yes. Even the two, too. Yeah. But, you know, they can shift, like I said, but those are major components. Like, I've tried, and I have hard time. It's not been a concern for me to determine totally what's my home.
Okay.
So far. But at least I know those are major components in me.
Well, and
it's just stunning how you can almost, you know.
Nail it, yeah.
Nail it like that.
Well, I also think you've got the challenger in you because you've been in many leadership roles.
Yes.
And you're also enthusiastic. You get involved in a lot of different
things. A lot of things.
Yeah.
It's so, possible. Yeah. So you might have all these wings, you know. Some people work really hard, and there are tools for that Enneagram provides that you may use to just nail it if you want to.
Sure.
But for me, the most important aspect of it, knowing this tool, is not only to be able to know yourself,
yeah,
you know, and to also develop tolerance. And that's very important to me. Because when you understand what informs your actions,
yeah,
not only you become tolerant toward yourself, but you also become tolerant toward others.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like a nine, we'll have the tendency to procrastinate.
Okay.
Which sometimes has been my problem too.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I think we all have dimensions of that.
Yeah.
Certain areas.
Once that you know that, oh, you understand. And it's helpful that you can sometimes, when you face that kind of difficulty, when you feel like your nine, for example, is kicking in very much, you may say, how would an eight act here?
Yeah.
Or how would a three?
I see.
An achiever act here? And that in itself is enough to sort of energize you to progress.
Right. Yeah. Because then you've got a goal, a direction to go toward. Yeah.
Or when you say, when you see someone acting weird, as you're informed with this tool, you will have the tendency to think that that's normal.
Yeah.
And you will be more willing to help that person move out of that block than, you know, just criticizing them negatively or get completely mad at them or something like that.
Yeah.
I love the way one of the teachers of Enneagram phrases it. His name is Scott McRae. You know, he's based at Wisdom Ways. He's just, he is very good at this. I took a class with him on Enneagram, and he teaches online and stuff. But he says, every time that you notice something weird in a person as an informed about Enneagram, your tendency will be to say, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, instead of making a judgment.
Yeah,
like it's right or wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because at the grassroots, you know, from the ancient philosophy in Egypt, in fact, the nine types represent the nine faces of God.
Mm.
All of these things represent the qualities of God.
Oh, nice.
You know?
Yeah.
So you don't need to be judgmental about them.
Yeah.
What you could do instead is to help that person.
Yeah.
Be tolerant toward them and toward yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think with Carl Jung's work, he must have taken some of the elements of that to put it together.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm remembering now what the acronyms are.
Yes.
So on a scale, you're either extroverted or introverted. So it's how you use the energy.
Exactly.
And then you're either intuitive or a sensor. So you intuit things by connecting with your internal self.
Yes.
Understanding the hunches within yourself.
Yes.
Or you use the your senses, your touch, your feel, your sight, your auditory perception to really understand the other person or interpret things.
Absolutely.
And then there's the feeling or thinker.
Yeah.
So when you approach a problem, a situation, do you think about it first or do you feel your way through it?
Exactly.
So I feel my way through it.
Oh.
And then I think about, well, what happened?
Yeah. I'm kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Even though I process a lot, but, you know, I tend to feel through the things.
Yeah, and I know people close in my life who are thinkers. They'll think through, put all the words in place first.
Yes, yes.
Then they'll figure out how they feel afterward.
Yes, whereas you're using your gut.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So. And then the last one is perception and judger and a perceiver. So according to Carl Jung, we have a range within ourselves of each one of them. And then there's 16 different combinations of each.
Yes.
And there's a description of each, and there's books on how that can help you figure out your careers even. But the perception is... and I'm a P. I like to go out in the forest and gather all the information, see everything out in the forest, you know, gather all these things. So like research for the podcast, you know, I love doing that. Yeah. And then I have to work hard on the J, where the J is the judger, who will like, I want the answers, you know, give them to me right now. Yes. I don't want you to be out in the forest.
Yeah.
You're out there too long.
Oh my God. Oh, that's good.
That helps So that's that has helped me out. I can see where both of them work well for people to understand themselves and then also help each other and be more accepting of other people's styles.
Absolutely.
And personalities.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, that's the goal. You know, the goal is, like they say, you are not your type, okay?
Yeah, right.
Even if your home is a 7 or a 9 or a 5, yes, but ultimately that's not what you are. The main goal is to sort of go in the center, be able to shift within all these 9 types, you know, talking about the Enneagram here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I can imagine, depending upon your career, that you would also develop more of either the similar qualities or other personality aspects.
Exactly. So the more you work on yourself, the more you will start to see the different types represented in you.
Okay.
More or less.
Really cool.
Yes.
So I think we have just enough time to segue into, you had mentioned in the last conversation that you have used this designation to kind of inform your life work.
Absolutely.
In different ways. And so you wear a number of different hats. Like with Kabea Media, you produce the videos and take photographs and work with me on the show producing the podcast.
Yes.
And so how will you use your spiritual directorship in that framework?
Well, I have to be honest here. More is to come, is to be discovered. But right off the bat, I'll tell you that we were just talking about this tool here. That in itself is very good for me, like when I deal with my clients.
Yeah.
Depending on which domain it is, you know, photography, videography, sound work or whatever, or spirituality, because, I can get clients also as a spiritual director and talk to them on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah, so this that's another element of your work with Kabea Media.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like these tools that I've just mentioned here, Enneagram, inform me on the quality of relationship I can have with people.
I see.
And I know how to read more or less what are people's expectations.
Yeah.
And what I can do, in fact, to bring their satisfaction to the highest degree possible.
Nice. You know?
So it's like I said, it's a continuum of the same. It's the same story.
I see. So wherever you are,
this
is helping you to be more present with yourself, and
because
you have
and
this,
the world.
Because you've spent this time understanding yourself, you can now then
absolutely
focus on other people and how they are, and not get so intertwined maybe in the minutia that comes up when you don't understand
how the other
person functions.
Yeah, because believe it or not, we do exchange a lot. You know, we started this podcast like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Can you realize how much we have learned and how much we have helped each other?
Yeah.
I mean, growing spiritually. Even though it might be difficult to quickly say that this has something to do with spirituality. But guess what? There's always a connection with the spiritual.
Mm.
Because everything we do is part of our spiritual journey.
Yeah.
including talking about the politics on the microphone here,
yeah,
or any other thing for that matter.
Or the transition that we went through with our religion.
Et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that stuff is in the same basket.
Yeah.
We learn a lot. We grow spiritually, even when we talk about enterprises. You know, and this is a very good example. A CEO who understands how Enneagram works, for example, who knows about typology, is most likely to have the most benefit in their enterprise because they will know who to put where,
yeah,
and how to treat people.
And motivate them.
And motivate them.
Yeah, it's they so will know critical.
What
yeah.
motivates who.
Right.
You know?
And if we have, like you and I have a similar connected goal, so mm-hmm. when whatever happens, mm-hmm. As we're going along, we're working toward the same goal, so we're not fighting between
exactly.
you and I.
Exactly.
We're like sorting it out, and we always have the greatest, like I always feel that, you know, we're all on a journey. And that if a communication glitch happened,
yes.
I think about it in terms of the greatest good.
Absolutely. It's part of the deal, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you may have the greatest enlightenment, Louise. You may be
highly skilled.
Mm-hmm. You might have, that doesn't mean that now there's never going to be any difficulty in your life. No, there will always be some stuff popping up in your life that will irritate you. That will, you know, put in you a bad mood or a failure that might show up. But the way you handle all these things now differ.
Yeah, because you have more tools.
You have more tools. And you know that difficulties, not being okay with your partner or your associate, can happen, but that's secondary. You know, the goal that's pursued has to be primordial.
Mm-hmm.
You will understand that better than if you were not educated, if you're not prepared
yeah.
at understanding that kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at the person's humanity,
exactly.
as a human being, and
exactly.
what's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how can we work toward or move or shift something
yeah.
to reach the goals that we have? And,
extremely
you know, I
important.
Recently found out only 3%
yes.
of the population is really taking charge of their leadership.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Goleman, he's invented the term emotional intelligence.
Oh, yes.
And he's got, you know, millions of books. He's doing amazing work. And in his description about emotional maturity,
yes.
which is what we need in order to become a true adult, many of us don't become emotionally mature until our parents pass away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But even then, I mean, so our parents are living longer, you know, so how are we evolving into mature adults? Well, we need to take charge of our own leadership process. And what you've done with your spiritual direction designation is you've taken charge of your own spiritual development.
Yes.
So that you can be in charge of your own direction that you go emotionally.
Wow. That's so well said.
Mm. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm always like excited when it all comes to the concept comes together.
Another validation, Nancy.
There it is. Oh, but yeah, that's why I'm really harnessing and building out the self-leadership training and practices that we're doing so that people can commit to their own self-growth and realize, hey, I want to not only be part of the 3%, want to expand the number of percentage, you know, blow out that percentage to 100% of us should be on this path.
Oh, God, yeah. Can you imagine how the world will look like?
Oh, my gosh.
With that many people awaken, quote-unquote, you know?
I know, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we're on the mission, and, and the listeners, you know, our audience are on the mission as well.
Well, thank you very much for doing that precious work.
Yeah, you too.
That's priceless.
We're doing it together.
Yes.
High five.
High five.
Oh, okay. All right. So between now and when I write the show notes, we'll think of some activities for you to do this week and how you can take charge of your own self-leadership. Until then, stay connected, stay tuned, and stay listening to us. We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. See you next week.